Books of the Bible. Luke was a physician and companion of Paul, who wrote an orderly account of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He meticulously details names, places, and events. Luke shows great concern for people of every class, especially overlooked or undesirable people. We are all from various places and classes, but Jesus Christ is the Savior for all mankind. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
This is Wretched Radio. Wow, that's hot. Woo! Guess, go ahead and guess. What question are we going to try to resolve?
Should I stay or should I go?
That's the one right there. This is Wretched Radio. Should you stay? Hey, I did pretty good. I talked over it, but I still got to the thing. I could be a radio professional. Should you stay or should you go? How do you know when to leave a church? Received an email from a couple who's struggling, if not for a reason, though, that you would imagine. Let's see if we can use their scenario to help us come up with rules to determine when you leave a church. This is a subject that these days, courtesy of Henry Ford, we all have to wrestle with because it's very easy to leave, isn't it? And there are times when you can. We've tackled this subject many times before. You can find all of those videos on the YouTube machine or at FordisPlus.org. I know with Mike Fabares, we did a series on this subject. When do you go? I think with Phil Johnson, we did a series on this subject. There are times you can leave, but leaving a church should be brutal for you. Leaving a church should be so painful. Leaving a church should feel like you're leaving your family behind at the border and you're never going to see them again. Why? Because, well, that you're breaking up with your family in a sense. You're leaving your family. Now you're going to go get embedded into another family, I trust. And those people are still your brothers and sisters, but because you are in that unique relationship with your local church, leaving those folks, it should be really hard. And so it's got to be a really high bar reason. It can't be something trivial. Furthermore, there's other things to consider when leaving a church. What kind of church am I leaving? And why am I leaving a church like this? It must be done slowly and considerately. And there are times when we can say, yeah, it's good to go, even if it's not a theological issue. There can be times, for instance, the opportunities for you to learn, they just have more classes. They have more Bible teaching. Please notice I didn't say events. Please notice I didn't say whoop-de-doo for the kids. By the way, Jimmy, I found some whoop-de-doo, I think.
You found some whoop-de-doo.
Well, it describes itself as whoop-de-doo. The headline from Crosswalk is a dude perfect themed VBS is coming to churches.
That is whoop-de-doo.
What's dude perfect?
I think it was a very popular YouTube, like one of the very first YouTube shows. And then I think they got on regular mainstream TV.
Are they still popular?
I don't know, to be honest with you.
See, now my guess, look, I'm just guessing. I'm going to go with they were popular 10 years ago, which is why the church has now embraced them.
You're right.
To be current and hip.
Because my kids watched them 10 years ago.
You know, the church, we're right on top of it. We are relevant is what we are right here. So who wrote this? These five guys are in love with Jesus. And they've been looking for an opportunity to share their faith. Can we just lose that phrase? It just has too much romantic baggage. You can say you love Jesus. In love with Jesus, it doesn't border on creepy. It just plain is. A dude perfect theme vacation Bible school for 2027, describing it as a week filled with high energy games. Why is that first? You got to have the hook to get the kids to come. They think. Engaging teaching and unforgettable moments, whatever that means, where kids will explore how God is calling them into something bigger than themselves. That is potentially a good teaching and potentially a bad teaching. It's potentially good because we are called into something bigger than ourselves. We're called into expanding Christ's kingdom. Needless to say, that's bigger than ourselves. However, I've heard that phrase used deleteriously. You can do great things. God has great plans for you. I can't wait to see the great things that God is going to have you accomplish. Hold it. First of all, define great things. God's style or the world's understanding of a great thing. Second of all, why does somebody have to do what the world esteems to be a great thing? You don't have to become the president to do a great thing. You want to do a great thing? Be a godly husband. Be a faithful wife. Be an obedient child. That's a great thing. Those are God's great things. Not, you've got to become the CEO of a Fortune 500 company. Otherwise, you haven't done great things. You hear that at graduations all the time, don't you? Go out there and do great things. Conquer the world. Well, you can knock yourself out and do that if that's your calling. But for most of us, it's just being faithful. That is what is a great thing. That you just persevere and you keep striving to become more godly. That is a very great thing. So my question about this Vacation Bible School is, why does it have to have high energy games? I know it's Vacation Bible School. I get it. But what are we telling the kids? We're the church. Why do we feel like we have to put mayonnaise all over it for them to possibly endure the flavor of the meat that we want to serve them? Okay, that wasn't the greatest culinary illustration, but why do we have to put barbecue sauce all over the roast beef for it to be tasty? We want to serve them the meat. We want to give them truth and the gospel. Why do we have to everything just has to be ha-ha, ho-ho, whoop-de-doo, and hey, now we're just going to take a minute for some engaging teaching so that you can do some great things. I know I'm a fuddy-dud. I know I'm just a stick in the mud, but we're the church. They can get whoop-de-doo anywhere, and they do get it anywhere. And furthermore, what does it say about the object of our faith that we have to make him entertaining? He's not interesting enough. We're going to hold your attention by whatever it is that Dude Perfect does. Look, maybe this Bible study is great. I'm just reading the press release here, and it leads with high energy games as a part of Vacation Bible School. So no critique. I don't know who these guys are. Let's trust that they are in love with Jesus. But Vacation Bible School, how's about something that actually pulls the kids up and presents it to them as something important, not as something trite, not as something that you've got to endure until we get back to the whipped cream fiesta? Why do we have to dumb things down for children? Isn't that kind of our problem? That we dumb everything down for kids and we don't pull them up and we don't see them maturing as fast as they should. But I digress. Let's get back to our church conundrum. Should you stay or should you go? Dear Todd, my husband and I come from 20 plus years of attending a Word of Faith churches. Despite that, we felt like we were family and loved the fellowship aspect. Pastor, please stay tuned for this letter. There's something, if you're not aware of it, or if you at least haven't considered it or addressed it in a while, I think there might be something here for you to ponder. However, much of what we were hearing in the pulpit then just didn't line up with God's word, and we eventually were starving spiritually and realized we needed to change quickly. That's a good time to leave a church. You're in a prosperity church. You're in a word faith church. Time to go. Don't need to debate it. Scoot. Get out the door. Get away from it, because it's bad for your soul. That's easy. By God's wonderful providence, our family is now approaching 5 years attending a church that has sound verse-by-verse expository preaching. Awesome. We started attending toward the end of the pandemic. Ooh, that word. My husband and I. Jimmy, there's a new one coming. Huntavirus? Something like that?
Oh, that was, yeah.
Is that a real deal, or is that just scare you?
Yeah, well, that, I think that was just related to the people on that ship. I don't think it can, from my understanding of the news stories, it's not going to spread.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you want to know? I can tell you. Do you want to know how it got on that ship?
How?
UFOs. That's what I'm telling you.
Thanks, Perry.
By God. Now send us money. That would be to be Perry Stone. Hey, there's UFOs. Send me money. By God's wonderful grace, we've been in a place 5 years, expository preaching. We started at the end of the pandemic. My husband and I, didn't receive a super warm welcome. It wasn't a family feeling. Perhaps because everyone was on edge because of the pandemic. Yeah, that's very possible. That's my theory, writes this individual. But we stayed because the expository teaching of God's word was so refreshing, and everything we dreamed of for us and for our children. Yes, that's good. The pastors are great people. Love the Lord. By the way, note that. So you got expository preaching, that they are getting refreshed there. And they've got elders who love the Lord. We've made friends with members that also love the Lord, yet we're struggling with feeling like we belong, bonding with the local body, and experiencing sweet fellowship. It doesn't feel like family, and we're discouraged. We've chatted about it. We've talked about whether we should stay or should we go. And we've made a decision. What is that decision? Please Google the word cliffhanger. We'll tell you in just a moment. But my question is, would you go? Would you leave a church like that? Now, assuming everything that we've just heard is accurate, that it's great teaching, it's godly elders, but it's not the warmest place in the world. Would you stay or would you go? Next on Wretched Radio.
No retreat. That's the name of Fortis Institute's Spring Match campaign, and here's why. The culture we live in right now has made it pretty clear it has very little interest in the true gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're being told to keep our faith quiet in public or to soften what we believe so it goes down easier. Fortis Institute has no intention of doing either one. We exist to advance the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this spring, we're doing it as loudly and as boldly as we know how. Your gift will help launch two new podcasts. It puts Todd Frills' new book, Go Serve Your King, into print through HarperCollins. And it puts the gospel back onto college campuses where it's least welcome and most needed. Our goal is $250,000, and we're asking if you would prayerfully consider helping us get there. You can find out more right now at fortisinstitute.org/donate.
Most men don't make one big decision that takes them off course. No, it happens gradually, and eventually you look up and you realize, I've been coasting for years. Well, Dr. Adam Tyson has created Walk Like a Man. It's available now on Fortis Plus. Dr. Tyson knows that's the story for way too many guys right now. And so he gets into God's Word and he lays out what it actually looks like to walk with wisdom and live with real conviction. And the way he teaches it, you'll walk away from every episode knowing exactly what to do and why it matters. This is biblical teaching that puts solid ground under your feet and gives you a clear path forward. It's streaming right now with new episodes dropping every Monday on Fortis Plus for free. Download the Fortis Plus app right now wherever you download apps on your smartphone, your smart TV, or just go to fortisplus.org and walk like a man. Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know, finding Bible teachers you can actually trust, it's not as easy as it used to be. There is a lot of content out there, but not all of it's faithful. That's what Fortis Institute is building. We've brought together a team of fellows, people like Tim Challies, Dr. Jason Lyle, Dr. Andrew Walker, Dr. Greg Gifford, Pastor Brad Bigney, Todd Friel, Dr. John Krotz, Libby Clawson, Dr. Adam Tyson, and they're all committed to teaching the word without apology. These aren't influencers. They're not chasing trends. These are serious teachers doing serious work. And the reason that we've been able to bring voices like this together in one place is because of our gospel partners, men and women just like you who find value in what we're doing at Fortis Institute. And if you appreciate what we're doing and you want to be a part of it, would you consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner? Help us to continue building something that matters. Just go to fortisinstitute.org right now. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the bridegroom. Christians are waiting for Christ's return, which the book of Revelation describes as the wedding of the Lamb. Christ will come to usher his bride,
his church, into eternity with him. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
If you're listening, Greg Gifford, please forgive me. This is Wretched Radio. So the other night, I'm reading an article, which I just discovered sitting on my desk as we're preparing to return to the question du jour, which is also the question of the day. Should you stay or should you leave your church? It was an article that Greg Gifford had written. I printed it out. I read it at home and I marked it up. There was some helpful stuff, but it's like, that just didn't quite seem up to his standard. Nevertheless, I marked it up, brought it in here to the radio studio, put it on my desk, and now I just picked it up. And I remember thinking, oh yeah, there's some good stuff in here, but I don't know that there's enough stuff for it to be really helpful. And then I turned the page over and I realized, oh, I'd actually printed the article on both sides, and I didn't read 3 pages of it. I missed, no wonder why it seemed a little choppy. Greg, I'm sorry I doubted you. Please forgive me. If you don't listen to Greg Gifford and his Transform podcast, I'm telling you, don't skip an episode like I just skipped 3 pages. You will benefit so much from biblical counseling. He will talk about issues that we're all dealing with, and he will apply it directly to your heart through your head. It is the numbers on it. It's crazy. It is growing really, really fast. It's already in the top 0.5% of all podcasts, but very soon it'll be like 0.4%. It's really, really growing. He does an awesome job. You can find it wherever you do your Spotify, Google, Apple business. And as long as you're on your computer, don't forget about our spring matching gift campaign, No Retreat, Double Your Gifts. Right now, courtesy of our spring match gift campaign titled No Retreat. If you would like to consider supporting us, we'd be super grateful at this time. Matching gift campaign, fortisinstitute.org/donate. Now, to the question du jour, which is also the question of the day. Should you stay or should you go? Jimmy, I gave you the scenario of this couple. They found themselves a good church. They left a Word of Faith church, really warm, friendly, nice people, doctrinally a disaster. So they left. They found a great church, great preaching, great elders, but it doesn't have the same warmth. And they're feeling a little detached. They do have some friends that are inside of the church, but it just doesn't seem to be the same as it was. And they're making a decision. Should I stay or should I go? What would you do, Jimmy?
Well, I mean, you know, my initial answer is going to be something that we haven't discussed. Have they talked to the pastors?
Well done, Jimmy.
Because that's going to determine.
You're not just handsome.
Thank you.
You're intelligent.
I have a brain too.
Well done. No, that's exactly right. That's if they haven't yet. If these elders, the key in this email was these are elders who love the Lord and they're trying hard. They will welcome you. A pastor who's a shepherd will hear from you and want to know, okay, tell me what you're experiencing. I want to know. I want to understand so that you can start working with them to help address it. If there really is a cultural deformity at your church, he wants to know about it because the pastor probably doesn't feel it. He probably isn't aware of that. Why? Well, because everybody knows the pastor. Everybody was, you know, the pastor greets everybody, or at least tries to greet everybody. So he probably senses all is well in the church, and maybe he doesn't know. So Jimmy, well played, sir.
Thank you.
Before you go, or before you commit to staying, you can just talk to them. But you're going to have to. This gets a little tricky because this could be a little Play-Doh-y. It's not quite concrete. It's a little bit feelings-based. You don't feel as welcome. You don't feel like people are as friendly. Now, you're without throwing anybody under the bus, you're going to have to try to come up with as concrete of examples as you possibly can. You don't need to name names, but you could share that because a church shouldn't be a cold place. Church should be a very familial place. Jimmy, want to know what I'm doing right now?
What are you doing?
I am woofed off fighting temptation. This Sunday sermon is about this subject. I did not bring this up for that purpose, but I'm just thinking about it. In fact, I think the title of the sermon is going to be Your Relationship with Your Church. Because Peter is trying to bring about unity in the church. And guess what the centerpiece of that unity is? Brotherly and sisterly love. There's other components, but based on the chiasm that Peter presents in 1 Peter 3, 8 through 12-ish, 13, it's very clear that we've got to be loving one another. And that's what brings about unity. Yes, you need to have doctrinal purity. You need to be on the same page as much as you can. But the reality is, while we can be on the same page theologically, that does not mean that we're always going to be the same page applicationally, meaning the running of the church, how we do stuff around here. I'm not necessarily talking about the church service, but maybe church polity. Here's a scenario for you. You've got 10 Christians in a room. All 10 of them agree on the five solas. All 10 of them affirm grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, the cardinal doctrines of the faith. We will die for these things because our Savior died for us. How many elders do you think we should have? One side says 3, the other side says 5. What's going to happen in a lot of churches? We'll go to war. And I think it's helpful in those moments to step back and say, wait a second, we have a unity, we have brotherly and sisterly love. How we go about the business of applying what we believe here in the running of the church, you're just going to have different opinions. And guess who should give in? All 10 of you. Oh, I'm sorry. So you want 5, I want 3. Then guess what? I want 5 too. Why? Because we do believe in the essentials together. We have unity together. I love you. You love me. Barney has nothing to do with this. Jesus certainly does. And I am going to bow to you because I will give deference to you. I will have humility in this, which Peter also talks about in 1 Peter 3:8, that we have to be humble about these things. And it staves off the fracturing of the church, because what he is seeking in these verses is unity in the body. So if you've got an issue with somebody in church, remember brotherly and sisterly love. I love these people. These people love me. Now let's return to the situation at hand, whether you should stay or should you go. You approach the pastor and you bring it to his attention. What might the pastor glean from a conversation like this? A good one? I can't tell you about a stinker, but I can tell you what a good one is going to do. He's going to start pondering, okay, I'm going to assume that what I've just heard is true. Why? What's coming out of the pulpit or not coming out of the pulpit that is failing to foster unity and love and familial warmth inside of this church? What do I think is the solution for a situation like this? I think the solution is to examine the preaching and the teaching. What is it cultivating in the church? Could this be rising to the level? It may not, but could it be rising to the level where this, you know what? We need a topical sermon series on unity. We can't wait to arrive to it in the text, because unlike Alpharetta Bible Church, we're not in 1 Peter 3 this week. That's alpharettabiblechurch.org. So we're going to have to wait until we talk about unity. You might just elevate it and say, no, we got to talk about it. Now we're going to preach through a bunch of verses on unity and fostering that love with one another. He's going to want to know that so he can ponder it. He might also start thinking along the lines of, okay, have we become the Corinthian church where we've somehow broken up into sects, that we've become too cliquish? It can happen. It doesn't have to be about, well, I like the associate pastor, I like the senior pastor, I like the pastor. It doesn't have to be that. It can just be that a church becomes cliquish. It does happen. You know how you're inclined to find those same people every week. Maybe you're just drawn to them. You've got to resist that temptation. You got to fight being in just one group of people all the time, because a church can become very cliquish. And the pastor could then go about the business of addressing those things. Let's go back to our letter for a moment. Drum roll, Jimmy. I didn't say gargle.
Well, that was the
what
quickest.
What happened to you? Are you all right? Sound like you're swallowing your tongue, frankly. My husband and I have the conversation about this. We've asked the Lord for his wisdom and guidance. We decided it's better to go to a church with sound biblical doctrine, because they're so hard to find, than feeling like you're in a family. Now, I think that right now is the right decision. when there's a bump in the road in your church. Now, as I mentioned before, could there ever be a bump that causes you to take your car and put it into a different lane? Yes. Yes, we've said that, but not so fast. You don't take the first immediate off ramp. You help smooth out those bumps. Stay there. Bring it to the pastor's attention. Think about ways that you could help. Think about people that you could talk to bring into this to say, hey, you know, have you noticed this about the church? Not because you're trying to gossip, but how could we fix it? How could we help to cultivate an environment where we are all loving each other more? What could we do? And you see it as your ministry. Now, if it ever became so detrimental, it was stunting your walk and your kids are struggling with it and they hate going, well, you can talk through it. But in the meantime, because you've got godly elders who love the Lord, they're preaching the word. I say you should stay and you should fight. Fight to make it a place that is warm and familial so that the next people who walk through the door will feel welcomed and they will not have to ask, should I stay or should I go? And until tomorrow, go serve your King.